Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boots, the Cats, and the Ugly. My guys, my homies, my brethren, my dudes, my homies. Said homies twice. What's good? What's going on? How are we doing today? Let's go to Roman first. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really well, John. Thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. Oliver, what about you?
Oh, I'm doing better than C9's former coach last Saturday.
Oh man, that was rough. At time of listening, that's too soon. At time of recording, wow, That's too soon, and possibly at time of listening, that was rough. This weekend.
All right. Well, I mean, I think I don't know. I mean, do we even need the rest of the intro? Like, no, right?
No.
So what we're gonna do today is we're gonna decide on the beatboxing Mount Rushmore, the Mount BBK or Mount if you will. So we're gonna all just go through who our five greatest beatboxers of all time are. We're gonna try to see if we can reach a consensus for the group, and we're gonna go from there. The only rule is that there are no rules, and now I believe it is time for that segment, Beat of the Week, except it's not. There isn't one. So we're gonna go.
Unlike Coach leaving so soon, you know who won't leave so soon? Anchor.
Yeah, Anchor will never leave. Anchor will always be here. They'll be there for you in your darkest moments and at the highest highs and the lowest lows. And speaking of highest highs, we're going to summit Mount with our picks for the five GOAT beatboxers. So I'm going to ask everybody to take a moment to go ahead and paste your top fives in the Google Doc. We ready?
Okay.
I'm ready. Mine is in there. Right. Oh, that's nasty. You can read. It's fine. Oh my goodness, Oliver going old school, he's typing.
I'm typing it out.
That's incredible. Alright, so we all have our lists down there. Since I'm hosting, I'm gonna go first, and then I'll go to Roman, and that'll give time for Oliver to finish typing.
Yes.
So, my list. Reeps 1, Gene, Sorrow, Tom Thumb, and Hiss. Hiss has an asterisk for me. I'm totally fine with changing that. The other four, I'm going to be pretty hard-pressed to change. Honorable mentions for me, it's tough, but I feel like I have to shout out Barry Wom. But because they're four people, I didn't really want to include them. I think it's weird. You know what I mean? Because like, I want them on there, represented at least one of them, but also there's four. So that, you know, can't do that. Napalm, Alem, Alexinho, D-Lo, Big Man, Rozelle, and 2H are my other honorable mentions. Just names that I thought of while doing this. Roman, how about you? Your five and any honorable mentions you may have.
Yes, so my five, I mean, just looking at this list, it seems deranged to me now. But every draft of the list I've made has seemed deranged, so I just went with it. So my list is Kenny Muhammad, Reeps 1, Gene Shinazaki, Alem, and Collapse. That's in no particular order. And my honorable mentions, I just have three, are Sorrow, D-Lo, and Darnie.
Okay, interesting. All right, Oliver, why don't you finish this off?
So my list is Gene, Tom Thumb, Napalm, Alexinho, and Korean Effects, with an asterisk on Alexinho. I think that he could be subbed in for any of my honorable mentions.
Okay, and your honorable mentions are?
Honorable mentions are Codfish, D-Lo, Zhongzi, and I had one.
And some other guy. Oh, let's go. I love it. So let's start with where we have consensus. All three of us went with Gene Shinazaki. Two out of three of us went with Reeps 1. And again, two out of three of us went with
Tom Thumb.
Can I read? Tom Thumb, thank you. I think a lot. There's
Can
a lot of overlap between our honorable mentions and
beatboxer in the late noughties.
Who?
Who? Can I read?
Nice.
Controversial beatboxer. Did a lot of weird avant-garde routines. I'm surprised that he made it on the list.
Yeah, I know.
Incredible. So, I'm looking at these lists, right? And I mean, I can see the reasoning behind all of them. everybody, I can see the reasoning behind everybody, like everyone named that you two brought to the table. Is there any place we want to start? Do we want to start with where we seem to agree, or do we want to start with any disagreements, anything like that? What are you guys thinking?
That we could just briefly go over everyone's like philosophy for assembling this list. We've had
that's a good idea.
Before of like our favorite beatboxers, and these are very, very different in every instance.
Yes.
These are very, very different lists, except for the fact that
right.
John's list is really similar to my list of favorite beatboxers. But other than that, there's almost no commonality
yeah.
there. So
right.
I think that's
yeah.
interesting.
So what I was looking for really more than anything is just, can I clearly see the, like, okay, is there an easily discernible, widespread impact that this beatboxing artist has had on the scene at any point in their career? So, in my honorable mentions, somebody like Big Man, who went viral for, like, doing what, you know, I don't want to say no beatboxer had done before him, but, like, not many beatboxers had done before him, singing incredibly beautifully and mm-hmm. performing insane beatboxing compositions that were insane not because of their technicality, but primarily because of their voice control,
mm-hmm.
Is somebody who made my honorable mentions for that reason. 2H is somebody who I think is just has always been streets ahead. He came up with polyphonic voice before everybody thought it was cool. Like, this guy's nuts. Like, I don't have an explanation for him. Razel, I feel like, pretty obvious. Napalm, also pretty obvious. Alem and Alexinho, I think both for battling, but to me, I didn't really care much about battling when I was assembling this. I was more just thinking of, like, how did this person, how has their art, like, how has their art changed the art form? That sounds dumb, but that's what I mean, right? Like, how is this person's, like, career, like, their things, the things that they've done and achieved, how have they inspired the other beatboxers, and is it easily discernible, right? That's what I'm going for in terms of greatest of all time. Just like the most easily discernible influences and the biggest influences on the scene.
Oh, that's
yeah.
That's,
so that's me.
That's super. Sorry, I'm really sorry, guys. Could everyone do me a favor and just put their honorable mentions in the document? I can keep track of what everyone's up because I was really interested in. I'm interested in everyone's honorable. I think that there's actually a lot of overlap between all of ours when we're talking about honorable mentions. I think there's very significant overlap.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, it's a good idea. So, Oliver, let's go to you. What is your philosophy here?
So, my philosophy was, I really want to say that it's just purely based on like a unique style, but it's not. It's also based on the ability to take that style far. And so, like, I feel like there are a lot of beatboxers who have a unique style, but not all of them manage to take it super far, right?
Okay.
And I think these are the people who, like, at the highest levels are still changing the game, staying true to themselves, still doing this, right? So, like, that's why Gene and
right.
Tom Thumb, Napalm, and Korean Effect, I think, are big ones for me, because they
okay.
were, like, top level and still innovating.
Mm-hmm.
With,
that makes
like,
sense.
With,
yeah.
with big shout out to Gene and Tom Thumb and Napalm, who are
yeah.
still, even being ascended above the top of the scene, are still
yeah.
innovating, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I mean, Napalm's recent appearance at Beatbox to World, it was entirely online. They did it is how they did it, and it was that was fantastic, really. Roman, what about you? What's your thinking here?
I had three criteria. Right, I do primary,
nice.
Secondary, and tertiary. So the primary criteria was the length and depth of the contemporaneous popularity of the beatboxer. And I actually rated battle performance pretty heavily here, because I think battle
okay.
performance is a really good indicator of the length and depth. Let me clarify here. So distinct from my personal favorites, if I wanted to do my personal favorites, that was much easier. But I tried to challenge myself and say, okay, who's going to be on the Mount BBK here? Like, and I thought, a lot of it has to be some element of consensus has to be in play, but not just like the, if you had the beatboxing community vote now, that would be madness. It would be, you know,
right.
five people. It would be like the top five participants at GBB 2021. Like, it would not, that it would probably not be a good list. Yeah. So my goal was to say, okay, imagine that the beatboxing community had a cultural memory. I don't think the beatbox community has any sort of cultural memory at all. That's not a good thing, but I know it. That sounds more insulting than I mean it. I think it's actually a really good thing because it means that the community is growing so fast. You know, a lot of people who are really into beatboxing only got started in the past year. That's awesome, but it means that a side effect is that the cultural memory is very, very short.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, imagine that the beatboxing community had a cultural memory. What would the plurality of votes go to here? So the main criteria then was the length and depth of their contemporaneous popularity. The secondary criteria is the contemporary popularity. So contemporaneous being back then when they were at their peak, when they were performing the most. Contemporary being evaluating their career now and their artistry now. In retrospect, or if the beatboxer is still going strong, how I imagine the beatboxer to be viewed in the future. And then the tertiary criteria for me was influence. I tried to, because like, yeah, I tried to devalue influence because I was like, you know, I was trying to compare it to Mount Rushmore, right? And I was like, okay, it's not like Mount Rushmore. Here are the top four most influential presidents. You know, that wasn't the main. Badly to establish. I mean, I don't think their choices were great for the most part. But they were trying to say, okay, who did the best at being a president. So I tried to. I mean, some of them were good. They didn't have a lot of great presidents to work with at the time. I had no idea why Jefferson was on there, but the point is, that was a tertiary criteria for me. So those were that was my mindset and my criteria going into it. On a side note, John, love your shirt. That's awesome. It's an In Transit shirt for the listener, which is the a cappella musical. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Thank you, Roman. So I think we've all got our philosophies down. I think we all have very different ideas of what we were doing here. Does anybody have a place they strongly want to start? I have an idea, but if anyone else wants to go, I'll let you take the floor first. Okay. So there are two names that I have, both of them, and the other two of you only have one. And that's Reeps One and Tom Thumb. I really am curious to know why not Tom Thumb for you, Roman, and why not Reeps for you, Oliver? If anyone wants to take the floor, I really want to know. I'm just curious.
I just realized, by the way, Oliver, you like, of your five, three of them are in my like top five favorites, which is great. I love that. Yeah. I mean, Tom Thumb is my second favorite beatboxer ever, right? So I'll field this first. I tried to look at my criteria, and I was like, okay, the popularity in the beatboxing community. Again, I was trying to do this like from an inside perspective, right? That's why I didn't really consider Korean FX or Tom Thumb as much as I love those beatboxers.
Interesting.
Those people served as sort of ambassadors between the community and broader culture, with viral videos and media appearances, etc. But I thought a competitive pedigree isn't there, and just the place, the level of being revered in the beatboxing community isn't there. It's close. They're both like so good that they're up there. But I don't think if you pulled the beatboxing community, even if the beatboxing community had a really long cultural memory, I don't think that Tom Thumb. I don't think that Tom Thumb would be much in consideration. For that position, but that just comes down to my criteria. I think in terms of like a lot of things like influence and pure skill, he is insane. I mean, he is absolutely right up there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fair. Oliver, what about you?
For me, on my criteria, Reeps One, he's really good at what he does, but I don't feel as if he is I don't think he merits being in top five because I think he is the house. He is like the emblem of an era. Right. So like he would be in my greatest of that time, but not my greatest of all time, if that makes sense. Like I tried to find beatboxers who I think can kind of span time itself. Right. And I think Reap 1 is really good at what beatboxing used to be, right? Which was just two skillers going at each other until one of them collapses out of lack of breath.
Right? Yeah. Right.
And he can kill that game. And I think and honestly this and this kind of leads me into a small tangent about how I like when we did the preview, right? We didn't when we did the predictions, we didn't think that Collapse would go very far, even though he ended up winning, right?
Yeah.
And my reason, especially for that, was because I felt like Collapse is his style is a bit of an antiquated style now, right? The community has kind of moved past it, right? Of course, he did really well and brought amazing techniques, and you know his battles are insane, right? Mm-hmm. But I was like surprised to see that he did as well as he did, especially because I kind of sized him up kind of in the same bench. Like if Reaps 1 went to GBB, I would have said the exact same thing. That Reaps 1 is amazing at what he does, but it's just not really what we're looking for anymore. We've
Interesting.
Been there and done that.
Interesting. Yeah. This is what I love about the podcast is that we're, you know, I think as much as we have a lot of shared experience and think similarly in a lot of ways, I very, very strongly disagree with both of you on these. I really do. I think I disagree with Oliver probably more. Roman, I think you swayed me a decent amount with Tom Thumb. He's less of a shoo-in for me than before. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of how much time we have left. I kind of want to talk about Reaps 1 a little bit more because I honestly could not disagree more, I don't think.
To me, I love that you said that, Oliver. To me, I was making this list and I wrote down Reaps 1 and then I started thinking, right? Like, yeah, for me, it was just like, I think Oliver brings up a good point. I mean, I feel like it's been, in fairness, it's been about 4 years. We haven't really heard Reaps 1. The chorus of people saying Reaps 1 is the GOAT, Reaps 1 is the GOAT, Reaps 1 is the GOAT for about 4 years now. But I feel like there was a period of maybe 6, 7, 8 years for kind of 2009 to 2015 at least where he was just... He didn't have the competitive pedigree necessarily, but he was just revered beyond all... above all other beatboxers to ever live, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that, and that's a big part of why he's in my list, is just that so many people, like, so many people have, like, an incredible amount of respect for this guy. I mean, he put out, he like you said, right, he hasn't been too active competitively, but, like, he still put out some, like, you know, Swiss shout-outs and other shout-outs and stuff and done showcases at these events. And they're always incredible, at least to me. Like, I'm like, this is awesome even now, to me. Like, I think... I think Reaps 1 was like pretty much about just about the first name on my list along with Gene. Like those two were complete no-brainers for me.
For me, Reaps 1, Napalm took Reaps 1 spot. Because
That is interesting. I thought about Napalm a lot as well. Napalm to me, and this is something that I wonder if we want to spend a ton of time on Napalm, since he's only in my honorable mentions, I think. And Oliver, he is in your list, actually, so I guess we can spend a little time. Napalm, for me, is probably... You know what? I'm just going to say it. I will gladly die on this hill. I think Napalm is the beatboxer who has the highest battle ceiling ever. Mm-hmm. In terms of the best he could possibly do... in a battle situation, he's the best. Period. I will gladly die on that hill. I really, really believe that. I genuinely believe that. He's insane. This man is incredible. He like, for what, 3-4 years straight, eviscerated literally everybody who came into his path.
Yeah, he didn't stop winning for a long
time. He just kept going.
He just kept winning, yeah.
And yes, Alem beat him in 2015. Again, this is another hill I will gladly die on, as I've advertised many times before. Napalm won that battle for me. He just did.
We've got to have the an anatomy of a battle about that, because that would...
Yeah, we really do.
That's actually an insane moment in beatbox history, that battle.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. I mean, it's a really awesome battle, and I'm really happy for Alem. Alem and Alexinho made my honorable mentions, honestly, for me, a little bit begrudgingly, if I'm totally honest, but I think that's just, like, a little bit of saltiness from their most recent appearances in GBV 2021. I just was, like... From their wild cards, I was like, I would not have brought these guys here.
Yeah,
based on the wild card alone, like, yeah. I get it, but, like, no, for me. So that's probably a little bit of saltiness as to why I, like, say begrudgingly. But I think they're both names that totally deserve to be in and around the conversation. So I think Napalm is somebody we probably can all agree is, like, yeah, like, he's pretty close-ish, right?
he was the honorable mention for my honorable mentions. I have yeah. I have eight yeah. names written in the document, and he would have been ninth. Oliver, I think that's a really good point, because that for me, he kind of is the new Reaps one, in that he has a ceiling that's basically just the sky, clearly. Yeah. But much like Reaps 1, he never quite had the dominance that you'd hope for in the competitive scene. For years and years and years, he was this. He won GBB 2017, and he won ABC 2015, which I think was an incredibly high level tournament. I mean, that easily could have been a world championship, and GBB 2016 basically was ABC 2015. But like Reaps 1, I think that when the pressure is on, Napalm always seems to fall a little bit short, but his ceiling is so stratospheric, and he has the same level of just... For years and years and years, like Reaps 1, people were like, Napalm, oh my gosh, this guy's the greatest to ever live! Much like Reaps 1, and Reaps 1 kind of passed the... You can see him kind of passing the torch to Napalm in a lot of ways. They're both huge innovators in these extremely low and dark bass sounds. So I can kind of see Oliver just dropping Reaps 1 for Napalm. I can see that argument.
It's definitely understandable. I'm curious, does anybody, so two things, is there anybody that we all have, and it's like, we're the only person who's brought this name to the table that we really want to make the case for, or the flip side, is there anybody that is in our current top five that we're happy to change for someone else that we've mentioned? I have a couple names coming to mind for me, but I want to go to you guys first too.
I'm happy to change almost anyone. Again, I mean, the list feels insane for the most part, right? So I have no confidence whatsoever. So for me, the two craziest ones on my list that no one else, I assume neither of y'all even considered, were Collapse and Kenny Muhammad. I mean,
yeah, I didn't.
If I'm wrong.
That is true.
Kenny Muhammad a little more.
Yeah, I probably should have as well, since I went with Rozelle in my honorable mentions, but yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't even think about Kenny Muhammad.
I just didn't. I think that's fair, though. I see why.
Rozelle is the obvious choice, right?
Like, yeah, Rozelle is the more obvious choice of the two.
Influence for me was only a tertiary consideration. I do believe that Rozelle is probably the most influential beatboxer ever. I've given my top five most influential before, which is Rozelle, Dougie Fresh, Reaps One, Kenny Muhammad, and Pepponi, which I stand by. I think the problem is with Rozelle is I think that as long as Rozelle was beatboxing, Kenny Muhammad was considerably better. He just had Rozelle had some interesting.
That's true.
Kenny Muhammad is actually insane. Like you can watch stuff he was doing in the early 2000s that's still. It's unimaginably clean. The technicality, the quality of his sounds is just actually beautiful to listen to. And I think that he was a legitimate contender for the actual best in the world for something like 10 years. I don't think anyone else has ever had, I don't, like, if you were to say, oh, here's a battle, put Kenny Muhammad against anyone, smart money would be on Kenny Muhammad from 1998 to 2008, maybe. I just think he was actually that ahead of his time for that long. Okay. So it is, so that's why I put Kenny Muhammad. But again,
good case for Kenny. Just, mm-hmm. No, sorry, I was just saying that's a good case for Kenny. I like that. Oliver. Mm-hmm. Trying to think, who do you have that no one else has? I honestly didn't think about Korean Effects. I feel like kind of has a pretty obvious case that we've all touched, like, danced around a little bit. But Oliver, do you want to make the case for Korean Effects?
Yeah. Well, he's Korean Effects. I mean.
Yeah. No. I mean, honestly, you could stop. You really could stop there. Yeah.
I think that he is. He still, to this day, has the cleanest sound out of any beatboxer that I've ever heard. I still don't think there are many people who can come close to how clean his sounds are executed. I don't think I will even ever approach how cleanly his sounds are executed, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not just, like Korean FX is one of those, like, I put Korean FX because you have to kind of acknowledge, you know, how good he is, that it would be impossible for me to leave him off this list. Like, he's got such clean. I think the valid argument against him is that I haven't heard from him in years. We don't know what he's doing.
He stopped answering my texts. It's really been me.
Yeah, he's been ghosting us, dude.
He's been ghosting us. Yeah. He's not answering our sponsorship requests. Mm. The whole thing.
He took out the restraining order.
Oh my goodness.
We're actually breaking the law right now by invoking his name.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, no.
His knowledge of the American law system is mostly thanks to us. Like,
nice. I have two Koreans. Neither of them Korean-Canadian, which I believe Korean effects is, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Hiss, actually, I'm really curious. I want to make the case for Hiss really quickly. So now part of this is kind of banking on Hiss, a big part of why I bothered putting him up here is because I just assume he will continue to be amazing, mm-hmm. and, like, keep up with the scene as it evolves. Because I think even now, he gave River, an eventual GBB 21 finalist, a very strong run for his money for a while in that battle, I thought. But Hiss to me has, like, he hasn't revolutionized, I think, solo beatbox structure, but I think he was probably the first to really polish the build drop interim second drop. I think he was probably the person who polished it the most, polished the new structure that we hear from everybody now the most, probably since Reeps 1. I really do think that. Like, I think when Hiss came onto the scene in GBB 2017, there were a lot of amazing beatboxers around. Of course there were. But if you listen to every single one of Hiss's GBB 2017 rounds, you can listen to them. The elimination and all of his battle rounds, you can listen to them, and without seeing the clock, you can know how much time he has left. It's I don't think people talk about this enough. Like, almost every single amazing beatboxer has had a round or several rounds in a battle, in a tournament where you thought, dude, oh, you were just getting to the good part right at the end. That never happens with Hiss. It started happening a little bit in sort of 2018-19 time, but, like, even then, there has never been a more, like, just time-perfect and incredibly well-structured beatboxer I genuinely think ever. Because, like, even now, the fact that so many beatboxers, like, you kind of have that similar thing where when you're watching them in a battle, right? And it's like, all right, 3, 2, 1, beatbox, right? And you're like, okay. You can listen to it and think, he's probably got about 30 seconds left here, like without even watching. Mm-hmm. To me, that's 100% because of Hiss. Okay, it's 80% because of Hiss, 20% because of Reeps. But like Reeps is already, we've already agreed that he's like pretty close anyway. So that, to me, that's my case for Hiss. I'm curious if anyone has any strong thoughts on it either way. I think we kind of responded to just about everybody's cases a little bit, right? Is that, what do we think? Do we think I'm off my rocker, or is that somewhat sensible?
I think Hiss is in, hey, I think Hiss probably should be my honorable mentions. I think Hiss and Big Man are the same place.
Mm.
Okay. I think they have they've been shot in the foot a little bit by Gene, because when it comes to style, I mean, Hiss has it in plenty, but Gene is just like, there's no way that I can incorporate a list with Gene, with Hiss and not Gene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that makes sense. I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm pretty sure Gene is going to make it on here.
Well, no, Gene has already made it. All three of us named Gene in our top five, so Gene is already in the total list. He's the only one that we all agree on. Sorry, Oliver, to interrupt you. Do we want to just continue the trend of being a Gene fan cast for a little bit, or do we want to just power through and just say, you know, acknowledge it. It's like Gene's awesome. So Gene, we've all put Gene Shinozaki in our lists. He is an American beatboxing icon. He is, you know,
American beatboxing icon. Beatboxing.
He's an international beatboxing icon. He is. No, he is. He's a beatboxing icon. He's a 3-time world champion. He's won an a cappella contest with Chris Solis. This guy is just—he's just insane. I think he probably is. He's like
the dark.
Like he just is the GOAT. He is the GOAT beatboxing artist of all time to me. Like beatboxing artist, not beatbox. I think those are like two sort of different things a little bit. But I really think that he's awesome. We love Gene here.
Yeah, in my limited experience as a beatbox watcher. Right.
Yeah.
When I first heard of beatboxing, right, Gene was like the dark horse. Right. He was good. Right. But Napalm was really the shining star of the beatbox house. Right.
Yeah.
And Gene has gone from this dark horse to like this iridescent horse that is just like I still can't unsee his costume from his showcase.
He's an artiste.
Like, like, oh my god. Like,
I mean, he went to Berkeley.
he went to Berkeley, right? Like, it just it seems insane to me to not agree that Gene has taken musicality and altered it forever. If anything, he might have scared off everyone else from musicality because he does it so well.
Yeah. We love Gene.
The guy literally brought Kenny Urban to tears with a 4-minute solo beatbox showcase. The Gene for me of all of the people who I suggested, Gene is someone where I think all you need to do as evidence for the necessity of his inclusion is just listen to an arbitrary one of his routines.
That's the thing about him. He's so consistent.
Everyone else, you need to like analyze the context. You need to no. With Gene, just listen to anything he's done.
Dude, in the past literally 6 anything. Years. Yeah, and you're fine. Like you're set. He's awesome. His signature
technique is he harmonizes with the pitch of the vibration of his lips.
Yeah, like what even, dude? No, like, huh?
What are you doing? What?
Just awesome. This guy is just amazing. I mean, I love Gene.
He alters the vibration to change the harmonies. Like, it's not just a static vibration.
It's nuts, dude. It's just nuts. Dude's on another level. So I mean, given how much time is gone, we can keep talking for like I think a decent amount of time.
I mean, I'm happy to say Gene wins, and then we just call it there.
Yeah, like, I think so, too. Is there anybody...
Can we just have a bigger Gene?
Just a bigger Gene.
Just five Genes.
Just five Genes.
Yeah, really. We just do five Genes. So, here's what we'll do. Put up Gene, and then we'll put up a flag. We'll put up a U.S. flag, UK flag, a France flag, and a Korea flag, and then we're set.
Perfect.
Yep.
Those four plus Gene, the U.S. being like the rest of the U.S. Of course.
We could do like four stars in the mountain as placeholders for other beatboxers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for
and
real. And leave it with Gene.
In 100 years, when someone comes across that's almost as good as Gene, we could put someone out there.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
We could talk about this again and be like,
yeah. So I have two names for me that I want to talk about. Is anyone else have anybody else they want to talk about here? Make a little case for.
I do, but we can go with yours first. I have no.
Okay. All right. So well, I have two. How many do you have, Roman? Do you have one?
I should probably talk about two as well.
You should talk about two. Okay. Well, so I'm gonna say my two, and you can say your two, and then we'll decide there.
Yeah.
My two. I want to talk about Sorrow and D'Lo.
Oh yeah. Oh, those are. Good ones to talk about. I was actually gonna talk about a Lemon Collapse.
Okay, that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea because I only really touched on those two, but I think we should probably give LM. We should definitely give LM more lip service here. I want to lead with D'Lo because D'Lo is somebody we all have in our honorable mentions, actually, and you know, can I just say I still remember, you know, meeting. Back at Wash U, back in the college days, back in the good old days, when we were in our youthful primes, full of youthful exuberance and naivete, meeting with the rest of the Wubs crew, and meeting.
This has been a podcast for so long that it's started to affect.
Yeah, for real.
To backdate our memories.
It's affecting my long-term memory. So Max came in with a video of D'Lo that I had already seen before, and he insisted. He was like, D'Lo's gonna be, like, on top of the world one day.
Yeah.
I still remember this. I was like, I mean, okay. You know more than I do, so I believe you, I guess. But I mean, I think in terms of, like, beatboxing composition, let me take a step back. Solo beatboxing composition, because that's the reason I have Sorrow in my top five, is looping composition. But I think D'Lo is probably just behind Hiss, and I think, you know, both of them are a relatively long way behind Gene, but that's not a slight to them. I really think D'Lo is, like, just generally awesome. Like, I think he's like, you know what I mean? Like, he's a good guy. He's very likable. He's a great performer. He's an awesome battler. He's consistently come back as a judge. He's been probably the most transparent judge we've seen in a while, you know, going out and like defending his picks and being like, you know, here's what I liked. Here's what I didn't like. And most importantly, here's what I think can be improved. I think D'Lo's kind of like, he's really sort of bridging the gap between, you know, amazing beatboxer, amazing artist, and, like, kind of beatbox influencer in a way. Like, where he's just, you know, he's putting out tons of content, and he's, like, really, really engaging with the community in I don't want to say in a way that we haven't seen before, but in a very distinctly modern way, if that makes sense. Because, you know, Reeps has been very engaged and Rozelle have been very engaged before in terms of, like, mentoring people and helping people and, like, talking to people about their artistry. But D'Lo's out here, like, making videos like, oh, you know, Improver, dude, loved your elimination, so sad you couldn't make it. You know, here's what I thought about, like, why I liked it. Here's what I would have liked to see more of, some stuff maybe you could work on. Like, that's not really something we see much of in the public sphere, and what I think that actually does too is that helps people like us not only learn and understand more for when we go to record, but learn and understand more for our own beatboxing artistry. So I just wanted to shout out D'Lo, because, like, I mean, again, and this isn't to say that, like, all the other names we've talked about are, like, also, like, not good dudes. But D'Lo's just sucks. Like, he's just
therefore
awesome. Yeah, D'Lo's, he's just kind of awesome, right? Like, he's just great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. He's
yeah.
good.
You know, exactly. Like, he's good. I'm not saying he should totally make it, but, like, I'm just saying there's a lot of things to like, you know?
I don't know.
Which is the case with everybody, but yeah.
I'm actually thinking maybe he should just be on there. Like, where does I know I didn't put him on there, but, like, think about this. This guy, he was I would say if you pulled every beatboxer, every person who would self-describe as a beatboxer, who right. follows competitive beatboxing, everyone on the planet right now, and said, who was the best beatboxer in the world? You ask them that question, I think the plurality vote would go to D-Lo. And yeah. I think the plurality vote probably would have gone to D-Lo pretty consistently for about 4 years. Like, since yeah. 2018. So, like, that's... Yeah, I mean, yeah, 2018, 2019... And he was good before that. I mean, he competed
yeah, in he was.
World Championship in
2015. He was awesome before that.
Yeah, he's yeah. like a kind of prodigy, UK prodigy, big. I mean, everyone forgets the contributions that he made to like as like an early adopter of lip rolls, but that used to yeah. be a signature sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of alongside Ballsy and Napalm.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I don't know. He could be on there. Like he.
I think he could be on the consensus list because we all seem to like him.
I put him in the same place that I put Hiss.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair because they're really the only two beatboxers who somebody would probably call new school, even though they've been in the scene for so long. Yeah, like, those are the two newest school beatboxers, right? if yeah, that makes sense. That I would consider, like, you know what? I think they've earned it already. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. In you know, in some sense of the word.
I think if we give them more time, maybe we
yeah.
watch their
I think give them more time. Yeah, and then that's
maybe
fair.
they'll be more surefire pick. But right now, I can't see any reason why I would give them more space than
by giving them the spaces that could be filled by other people.
Other
yeah, I see what you mean. Like who've been around longer. Yeah, yeah. I think that's reasonable. Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about Sorrow. I'll be really quick with Sorrow. I don't think I need to do much here. Between 2017 and summer 2018, so from like spring 2017 to the end of summer 2018, Sorrow competed in two looping championships, GBB and World Beatbox Champs 2018. He was only voted against, as in... Five judges. I think both competitions had five judges, right? Mm-hmm. Five judges vote. Sorrow only lost a vote. Not even a battle. A vote. Once. One time. One person took a vote off of Sorrow in two tournaments. Consecutive. What?
Yeah.
This man came to GBB 2017, wiped the floor with everybody, gave us the single... probably the single greatest drop in GBB history, right? Like, it's one of two. right? Right? This man...
That's just how I sneeze.
He turned up at Beatbox World Champs 2018. Everybody knew he was amazing. And, like... You know, GBB 2018 was, like, not totally a letdown considering Sorrow's performance the previous year, but it felt like it, even though we had a ton of breakouts from new loopers. You get into the Beatbox World Champs, you're like, Rhythmind, a future world champion. So-So, somebody who felt like a future world champion, you know, making his first appearance, right? All these people coming out, you're like, you know, Sorrow might have, you might have to, you know, grit his teeth. You might have to fight a little bit. No. No, not even a little. He wiped the floor with everyone. Again, and this is after having been at the top, and everybody was coming for him, and still it wasn't enough. Even Inky, and people love Inky. Inky's great. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't do, like, that, I'm sorry, like, that is probably the single greatest period of dominance I've ever seen from, not even just a beatboxer, from any... individual in any competitive endeavor, like, you know, sports, esports, like, that's right up there with, like, the hold Usain Bolt had on sprinting for years, or the hold Simone Biles continues to hold on gymnastics. It's nuts to me. Sorrow, so that, you know I said that was going to be quick. That was not quick, but it could have been much quicker. Sorrow's awesome.
Yeah, I he was on my list until about 5 minutes before this call. And then nice. I just decided for my own sanity, I was just going to ignore him. I mean, I think I was just like, I cannot, I simply cannot start thinking about loop stations right now. So yeah,
that makes sense.
I think he's the goat looper. He was on my list, and then I was just like, okay, I'm adding as a random last-minute criteria that I'm not counting loop stations. People who do, I'm not counting achievements in looping.
Nice.
What are you going to do to stop me? So that's fair. Discarding that arbitrary criteria, yeah, obviously he's obviously top five goat. I think yeah. he's the only in many ways he's the only clear top five goat because he's so clearly the greatest looper to ever live in my opinion.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
Oliver,
no, he really is. Say, he really
nah,
is.
Nah, man, it's Mr. Wobbles. Or
does Mr. Wobbles even have a loop station? Probably. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, so those are my two. So we should definitely talk about Alem. Who else did you want to talk about, Roman?
I wanted to talk about Alem and Collapse. I just wanted to defend myself a little bit for putting...
No, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. To be honest, I probably wouldn't have picked Collapse in a million years. So I'm really curious to hear what that... Like, again, I can see it. He won the most competitive tournament. So why don't you go?
That's why I put him on there. So I before this, I've said many times, both on and off mic, I said... Whoever wins GBB 2021, if they will instantly be in the competition for the GOAT if they're not already. That is like a golden ticket free pass to conversation for the greatest solo beatboxer to ever live. And so I wanted to put my money where my mouth is. I said, okay.
Yeah, makes sense.
Collapse, to me... he's not someone I would even consider. He was not something that any of us really considered before the tournament. He's not something I would consider for like one of my favorites in terms of like contemporary beatboxers who I really like, but who I wouldn't put in my personal pantheon. Mm-hmm. He's not something I would even consider there. I think D-Lo is my, I would say D-Lo or River or Hiss way before Collapse. But, I just thought, well, to my mind, he got a free pass onto the Mount BBK just for winning a tournament of that caliber.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's not a great choice, and he's easily the person who I would most readily drop from my list. As I'm not super comfortable putting him on there in any case. So in favor of D-Lo or Sorrow. Definitely want to put them on there. Alem to me is kind of surefire to me. I mean, this guy has been, this guy's had a 12-year career of incredible competitive dominance. He's constantly innovative. He has this one idea that he always drives in, right, which is technicality. His beats are always really, really technical. They're usually pretty light on innovative melodies or anything. But he just drives that to absolute perfection. His beats are so incredibly... Given that focus, he somehow makes his beats so distinct. He's the architect of maybe 5 of the 10 greatest battles ever. He's participating in. This is one that I feel at least fairly strongly about. I think that he is. Clearly he must be up there with the greatest of all time, just in terms of the longevity of his career and everything that he's achieved.
Yeah, I'm happy to throw Alem in mine. That's what I was gonna say. Is that it was one of those things where I was like, he obviously should be in the top five. But because I personally don't love listening to him, I just don't feel like putting him in my top five immediately. But, I'm happy to throw him in. That's totally fair for me. Oliver, do you have any objection to putting Alem into the final five list? We've currently got two names on there.
One of which
is D-Lo that I just put prematurely.
No objection to either D-Lo and or Alem.
Dude, we've got 3 out of 5. We're killing it.
So the for the remaining two, there are two people have Reaps One, Tom Thumb, and there's Sorrow
I
think Sorrow should be in the discussion, but
Sorrow, Reaps One, and Tom Thumb are battling it out for the episode's final two spots. Oliver
and, And probably Napalm, too. There's a lot
of... Napalm is.
I've seen a lot of Napalm on the list.
Yeah. Oliver, what do you want? What are you thinking? You know what? Actually, before, why don't you just pick two of the four that we've just said?
I was going to say Tom Thumb.
Yeah? Okay. I'm happy with Tom Thumb.
Tom Thumb and Napalm, I think.
Yeah? Okay. All right, you're sticking with Napalm.
I personally
cannot make a list that doesn't have Reaps 1 in it, but I don't know. If I had to pick two, I would probably pick Reaps, and I might switch from Tom Thumb to Sorrow.
Tom Thumb's had
for this.
I think...
So you'd pick the exact opposite of Oliver's, in other words.
Yes, actually, yeah. So of the four that we're left with, yeah. Roman, what about you? And then we can go to your point, Oliver.
I don't know.
Just two names, just for fun.
Okay, right. So it's Napalm. The choices are Napalm, Reaps, Sorrow, and Tom Thumb.
Yeah.
Let's go. Just to make things complicated, I'll probably go Reaps, Tom Thumb. I know I never considered Tom Thumb, but the criteria, the reason why I'm now saying Tom Thumb is because we're playing a different game now, right? I assembled mine based on a certain set of criteria,
right?
I'm adjusting it slightly for this combined list, where my heart is just screaming for Tom Thumb. So I would say Reaps, Tom Thumb for me.
Okay, so should we? So we have two Reaps and... No, we have a Reaps Sorrow, a Reaps Tom Thumb, and a Tom Thumb Napalm, right?
Yes. Although...
Well, Tom Thumb, then.
Tom Thumb.
Yeah.
Wait. So, we have Reaps Sorrow, we have Tom Thumb Napalm, and we have Reaps Tom Thumb. So I guess Reaps and... you're right. So Reaps and Tom Thumb both have two votes.
Yeah.
Among those.
So Reaps and Tom Thumb then is what it looks like.
Yeah. Although then that's just me deciding. We can we can open it up, or we can
return to
discuss D'Lo and Alem and see if we want to now that we're down to the wire here.
Right. So we've got. I mean, we're getting pretty short on time. So right now we've got Jean Shinazaki, D'Lo, Alem, Tom Thumb, and Reaps One. So the people who missed out that it looks like I think we have some people who feel pretty strongly about are Napalm and Sorrow. Is there anyone in there you drop for one of those two or both?
I drop D'Lo for Napalm.
You drop D'Lo for Napalm? I think that's fair. I would probably drop D'Lo for Sorrow out of the two, but like I can also drop D'Lo for Napalm. Roman, what do you think?
I don't know, John. What is this?
Dude, I love it. This is great. This is the best.
My instinct is to drop D'Lo as well.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I'm going to say something weird. Even though I think Sorrow probably deserves to be on it more, my instinct is to drop D'Lo for Napalm, and here's why.
Okay.
Because it is easier for me to say the reason that Sorrow is on this list is because we're not putting loopers on this list. We're not counting looping. Right?
It's like a whole thing.
And to me, now that I'm thinking about a head-to-head comparison between D'Lo and Napalm, I'm like, okay, to me, Napalm, on all of the criteria I previously mentioned, and just in terms of liking his style more, my heart and kind of my previous criteria are both saying, in a head-to-head, I'm kind of thinking Napalm. Takes this one, but it's much more difficult to compare D'Lo and Sorrow head to head. So that's why I would kind of drop D'Lo for Napalm.
I'm more than happy to do that. I think Napalm was the name on my honorable mentions who I was kind of like, who I probably would have gunned for the most. That's perfectly fine with me. So we have Jean Shinazaki, Napalm, Alem, Tom Thumb, and Reaps One. That's great. See, my favorite thing about this episode is that all three of us get to agonize over a decision, and we all get to look incredibly stupid or incredibly smart as the years go by, but more likely incredibly stupid, right? So, like, I think we just all have to share in this. We're just all in the mud from this today, and, you know, I think that's the real beauty of this podcast. I'm not going to lie. Is there any last thoughts before we go to a very, very quick anything but beatboxing?
You know, we all, if we look at the final list, and then our individual list, we all have exactly three who made it to the final list, which I think is neat.
That is nice, yeah.
Yeah, because it's Reeps, Gene, and Tom Thumb from your list, John. It's Reeps, mm-hmm. Gene, and Alem from my list. And it's Gene, Tom Thumb, and Napalm from your list, Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like it. That's good stuff. Nice consensus. That was fun. I had a lot of fun, guys. How are we feeling? How are we feeling about a quick anything but beatboxing?
Are we saying these are the top five all time, listener? These are the goats. This is official.
This is the five that we've come up with on the podcast. I do feel bad a little bit for leaving out all the what I would consider to be the three MF Dooms of beatboxing, which are probably Rozelle, Dougie Fresh, and Kenny Muhammad. Yeah. but I like it. I like it. I think that's a strong list. So, I think with that, let's go into a nice, fun anything but beatboxing, which I was very intelligent to include this before. Probably won't have time. But, you know, how about that superb owl win by our favorite celebrities, Lady Gaga, Paul Rudd, Chance the Rapper, and Elton John? If you're curious about the link there, all of them are Aries signs in the Zodiac, which makes them all Rams. So, you know, the Rams. It's hilarious, really.
Was a multi-layered joke, John. That was,
wasn't it? Wasn't it great? Wasn't it good? Wasn't it fun?
That was like the parfait of jokes.
Dude, exactly. It's like that one joke that the guy tells in The Age of Adeline about a horse and pitching. You really have to have ridden a horse to know anything about it. Or have seen the atrocious 2015 movie that is The Age of Adeline, starring Blake Lively and some other guy. Do we even want to do anything with beatboxing? Do we want to end it there? So, I mean, we've done BBK.
Shout out to the listener.
Yeah, for real. I mean, if you've made it this long, however long it is, this is incredible. This is awesome from you. I mean, like, if you've made it this long, like, go ahead and, like, pause the anchor ad. Take a screenshot and send it to our non-existent socials. Yeah. Like, dude, you a real one, for real. That's incredible.
I don't know how long have we been doing this podcast for?
Two,
3 years now?
Goodness gracious.
It's at least two.
It was November of 2019 that we began.
Yeah.
It really feels like we started this a few months ago.
Doesn't it, though?
Like, it really still feels fresh to me.
Yeah, it does.
Even though it's been years. Like, oh my God.
That's why, Oliver, it's a classic.
It's timeless.
You hear that, the listeners? It never gets old, the Boots, the Cats, and the Ugly. We've released 33 episodes and we've got another 48 in our backlog. and still we haven't run out of things that start with L and S. We're still going, I tell you.
It never ever stops.
Honestly, in hindsight, I'm gonna feel really bad because it's gonna come out that he did something terrible, and then all of these jokes are no longer appropriate for the podcast.
I mean, don't worry about it, man. Like, this is pure. Like, this is where future John really shines. Is in editing. We'll fix it in post. Speaking of fixing things in post, I'm very excited. The sole reason for me to live is coming up on this Tuesday. After that, I'm going to have to find another one to live for, like, at least the next couple months or years, let's say. But we're finally having the Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022, is a Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
I was going to say that's going to be Witch Queen drop date, actually. He's on Tuesday. Ooh. So
nice.
That's an eerie coincidence, if you know anything about Destiny 2 lore.
Yeah, that's the as has been well established, I know everything about Destiny 2. Speaking of Destiny 2, it is it has been destined for us to end the podcast now.
Boom! Say we've been going 2 years again. Say it again. I dare you. And we're as quick on our feet as if we were born yesterday. No, wait, that doesn't quite work.